The boy stepped from the kitchen into the summer night. Warm stars hung just above his head. He arched his back and faced the sky as he relieved himself on the ground. The acrid smell of urine and dust floated up as he turned back toward the glowing doorway. A low, throaty growl drew his eyes toward the deep shadows of the flower bed. The dog was huge, a tall shepherd, lean and rangy. It stood with its head down and its legs braced protectively over a few table scraps. The boy felt fear rise in the back of his throat like the taste of new pennies. He recognized the dog. It belonged to the Moores, a sprawling family that lived south of the creek in a clearing scraped from the thicket of blackjack, oak, and briar. In passing their house, he had seen the dog tied to a dead chinaberry tree, the shell of an old refrigerator, its only shelter. The Moores were poor white trash. He knew this because the children's clothes were more ragged than his own. And he had heard the grown-ups talk about how they didn't take care of what they had. The half-starved dog had come by the week before and fought the boy's hound for the meager remnants thrown from the kitchen door. Old Rowdy had been badly savaged. "Daddy, old Rowdy's tore up bad." He waited. His father's rages had taught him caution when reporting news. "That dog of the Moors did it," he ventured. "I told them to keep that goddamn dog at home." His father swore and struck the arm of the chair. "If you see it again, I want to know about it," he added. Heaving his bulk out of the faded red chair, he crossed the room to his humpbacked trunk and squatted with a sigh, digging through a clutter of yellowed photos and newspapers. He lifted a bundle and carefully unwrapped a .45 caliber Army issue automatic pistol. He checked the blunt clip and nodded with satisfaction. He tossed the oiled cloth into the trunk and stepped to the fireplace, where he laid the pistol on the dark wood mantel. Forgotten, the boy watched from the doorway. His father loved guns. Guns and dogs. Excitement would warm the old man's voice when he talked of past hunts and dogs he had owned. "Now, I was just 6 when my daddy first let me go hunting alone. The rifle was an old 32 caliber rimfire, and the hammer was so stiff I couldn't cock it by myself, so my mama would cock it for me before I'd go hunting. And if I fired it, I'd have to go home and have her cock it again," he chuckled. The boy, already 12, thought that the rifle must have been heavy. His father could scarcely have been taller than the hounds that he followed through the cedar thickets of South Texas. Now there was red and pearl and bell. He sucked his pipe and his voice softened. Bell had the sweetest tone. You couldn't mistake her cry. If she was running a fox, you could tell if it was in sight or if the trail was getting cold. Pride was clear in his voice. His father's childhood had been brief. He had left school in the 3rd grade. At age 12, he had followed the wheat harvest across the windswept Texas panhandle, and he had worked as a helper on the combine. His wage, 50 cents a day. Now, dollars was as big as wagon wheels in those days, he'd say. It had taken six of his wagon wheels to purchase his first gun, a double-barrel shotgun. With his remaining wages, he had bought his mother a warm winter coat. While maintaining the combines, he discovered that he had a knack for making repairs in the field with materials at hand. He'd refined this gift at the anvil of his brother-in-law's blacksmith shop, helping to repair wagons and farm implements. He was an apt pupil, and it was only a few years until he was explaining the mysteries of a Model T Ford's electrical system to his brother-in-law. It was a poor living the old man now eked out as a country mechanic and welder. He knew his trade well, but a house full of children in hard times ate up his small paychecks and demanded more. The boy had often seen his father's frustration mushroom into a white-faced, trembling rage. The boy was very young the first time that his father shot a car. In payment for building a fireplace, his father had taken a broken-down Plymouth. He was confident that he could repair it. On a sleepy summer afternoon, the boy had squatted in the dust before the massive chrome grill and tried to anticipate which wrench his father would want next. The distant cry of a rain crow lured his mind through the cool, shady woods as his father worked on. Final adjustments were made. Gasoline was dribbled from a coffee can to prime the carburetor. The key was turned, and the engine cranked endlessly. His father exploded into curses, but the car would not start. All the connections were carefully checked. After cranking the engine several more times, he sat silently for a long moment, then stalked into the house. He returned, loading a pistol, as he purposefully stood in front of the old black car. The pistol roared as he emptied the chamber into the engine block. The carcass was dragged between the driveway and the barbed wire fence that bordered the cemetery and left to settle into the ragweed and Johnson grass. Sometimes old Rowdy would sleep in its shade while the boy prowled its dusty interior searching for treasures. Growling, the shepherd backed slowly into the tangle of petunias and zinnias. Blocked from entering the kitchen doorway, the boy circled his brother's car, working his way toward the front of the house. The car was a recently acquired black and white 1953 Chevy Bel Air. His brother had recently started working the night shift in the produce department at the Safeway. His father had gone with him to a neighboring farm to purchase the car. They had circled the car, kicking the tires, probing beneath the hood, and his father had declared that it was worth the $150 asking price. In just an hour, his brother would climb into his new prize and follow the pecan tree-lined farm-to-market road into town. The boy ran across the bare wood floor and paused in the dark by his father's bed. He whispered urgently, "Daddy? Daddy?" "What's the matter?" His voice growled more in menace than alarm. "That dog's back." The old man wallowed to the edge of the creaking bed, rose and walked heavily to the gun on the mantel. "Where is he?" "Just out the kitchen door by the driveway," the boy urged. His father lumbered into the night. The boy trailed by several paces, looking over his shoulder toward the kitchen's warmth. They stood in silence while their eyes adjusted to blackness. Across the prairie came the slow thumping of the irrigation pump in the watermelon fields. The boy's heart answered the sound. "There he is," the boy whispered, pointing to a shadow slinking down the fence line. The old man swiveled his head and thrust the pistol forward with both hands. "Get back," his father warned. He gestured at the dark form. The pistol exploded the night and kicked high in the air. The white flame backlit the fringe of hair around the old man's head, and for an instant, the thin hair glowed like a halo. The wolf dog yelped and sprinted hard to the left, trying to put the house between himself and the man's gun. The boy's breath quickened as he inhaled the cloud of burnt powder. He watched his father's arms describe a wide arc. The man pivoted at the waist as he followed the racing shadow across the lawn and onto the gravel drive. The gun thundered again and again. The boy's ears rang, but he distinctly heard a resounding metallic thump. His father walked gingerly on the gravel to the corner of the house and braced one hand on its edge. The light from the porch illuminated half his face, and the boy saw surprise written there. "Did you get him?" The boy's voice seemed too loud to his ringing ears. The old man did not respond, but walked slowly into the lighted front yard. He stopped beside the Chevy. Shifting the pistol to his left hand, he squatted on his haunches. The boy looked over his father's shoulder at a nickel-sized hole in the rear fender of the car. The man inserted one stubby finger into the hole, straightened, and then picked his path back to the house. The boy stuck his own finger into the hole and marveled at the smoothness of its edge. He leaned against the fender, the metal cool against his back. He surveyed the night sky, and a brief shiver flashed across his body like a shooting star. He studied Orion and waited until the light from his father's bedroom went out.